Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about a new way to connect with the VA from home and meet with the team behind one of the state's newest yellow ribbon networks. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness. Just as important as our physical well-being is our mental well-being. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to find a new way to connect with the VA from home. And today we're going to talk about teledermatology. And joining us from the Minneapolis VA is Michael Rulin, an RN, and Rebecca Chusett, a doctor of dermatology at the Minneapolis VA. Michael and Dr. Chusett, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to join you today.
Michael, I want to start with you. I understand you spent a few years in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
I did. I spent 12 years in what was then called Alpha Company of the 682nd Engineer Battalion in Litchfield, Minnesota. I deployed with a platoon of soldiers from Litchfield along with the Redwood Falls Company back in 2003 to Kosovo, and then again in 2007 with all of Litchfield to Iraq.
And Michael, I understand that you're a registered nurse, and you've been at it for quite a few years, and you were at the VA and then the private sector, and now you're back at the VA again. How did that all happen?
Well, you know, I started my nursing career on the surgical ward at 2L at the VA, and I learned so much, and it was just time for me to make a change, and I realized the grass wasn't always greener on the other side of the fence, and here I am back at the VA.
Okay, and is part of the draw being out there with all the veterans and some of the folks that you served with for 12 years? I imagine it is.
Absolutely. Having been in for 12 years, it's really nice to get back to some of that camaraderie and speaking with fellow veterans at the VA every day. It's really great. I really enjoy my time that I get to spend actually in the facility in Minneapolis.
Well, Michael, thank you for working out there and taking care of our veterans. And Dr. Chusett, I understand that you're from the East Coast, born and raised in New York, and went to school out that way and have served in several VA hospitals along the way to Minneapolis.
Yes, sir. I graduated from university at Buffalo Medical School, which was my first experience with the VA. Up in Buffalo. After medical school, during residencies, I had the pleasure of being able to work in the Brooklyn VA system in New York City and out on Long Island in the Stony Brook VA also.
And Doctor, how did you get to Minneapolis from the East Coast?
It's a good question. My first experience in teledermatology was actually at the VA system. And after graduating from dermatology residency, I started helping some startup companies with their teledermatology practices and got into doing teledermatology practice for apps and several hospitals, including the Cleveland Clinic. And Minneapolis was looking for a teledermatologist with some experience. And I reached out and luckily hit it off with our chairwoman, Dr. Bershaw, and here I am.
Doctor, is it safe to say that your interest in helping veterans goes back to your father and your grandfather serving in the military?
Absolutely. I first had an experience with treating veterans, obviously as a medical student. And when I left and I didn't have that piece of me practicing anymore, I really missed it. And I went back because it's a way to honor my father and my grandfather and, you know, to continue to give back to the vets who do so much for us.
Well, Doctor, welcome to Minneapolis, and we're glad you're here to take care of my fellow veterans out at the Minneapolis VA, and I may come through your office one of these days, and by then I hope the vaccine is behind us and we can meet in person.
Amen to that.
Well, Michael, I want to start with you. I'll come back to you here for a minute. Can you tell us what is teledermatology? And obviously that's got to be quite important over the course of the last year when we're trying to social distance and have masks on and some restrictions on who can come and go from the Minneapolis VA hospital.
Right. Those are great points, Tom. What we do with teledermatology is, let's say a veteran comes into their primary care doctor's office with a skin lesion, or the primary care doctor notices something that looks suspicious and they're maybe not quite sure how to diagnose that. Typically it takes 6 weeks or maybe more to get into a dermatologist at the VA or even in the private sector. So what we can offer is something in a lot shorter time span where the veteran can get a hold of our technician for scheduling. They take photographs with a very high resolution digital camera, and they use some special equipment called the dermatoscope to take some very up close photographs. And then we send those photos to the patient's chart to Dr. Chusid, and she takes a look at them and is able to offer recommendations on how to care for that veteran.
And Dr. Chusid, I go back to my experience in Vietnam, but we were exposed to sunlight and all kinds of rain and Agent Orange, and every veteran that served in the military, if they served in a war zone, has been exposed to various issues related to sun or burn pits or those type of things. I'm guessing that the veterans that are able to get helped at the Minneapolis VA have a lot of issues that would keep you pretty busy.
Absolutely. I think for the veterans especially, it's a really important population to be able to reach because of all of their exposure. And a lot of them are maybe living currently not so close to facilities that have real easy accessible access to dermatology in a timely fashion. And so teledermatology through the Minnesota VA offers these high-risk patients a really, really nice solution for fast and, you know, sort of expert, accurate care.
So, doctor, is teledermatology, is it safe and effective, or is it something of a preliminary way to find out what are the issues and then decide a course of action?
Telederm is extremely effective and extremely safe. I think there have been dozens upon dozens of studies out there proving that it's accurate and effective in not only diagnosing skin problems, but also being able to treat them online. I don't think anybody should have to fear having to use teledermatology as opposed to an in-person visit.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about teledermatology. We're speaking to Michael Rulin, a registered nurse, and Dr. Rebecca Chusid from the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about teledermatology with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And joining us today is Michael Rulin, an RN, and Rebecca Chusid, who is a doctor out there. And Michael, I want to come back to you. We've got some pretty exciting things going on at the Minneapolis VA clinic, and later this year they're going to break ground on a new women's clinic out there to make sure that all of the women veterans are taken care of the best way possible over the years, and they've been working on that heavily. What can you say to the women veterans that are listening about if they're uncomfortable coming to the VA or a C-Box, what do you do for them?
I'm glad you asked that, Tom. we just want to stress that we always will offer a same-sex chaperone to be in the exam room with any patient that's getting any photography done or even being seen by a nurse or a physician. It's very important, especially in the dermatology world. It's a lot of sensitive areas. We just really want to stress that we want every veteran, especially female veterans, to feel as comfortable and as safe as they can while they're being serviced at the VA.
And for our women veterans that might be listening, if you're the least bit uncomfortable at the Minneapolis VA, call ahead. They'll have someone meet you at the front door and accompany you to your appointments and make sure that you get good care. And as Michael said, there'll be another female chaperone that can stay with you throughout the course. Dr. Chusad, we're talking about teledermatology. And can you explain to us what can be done using teledermatology and then at what point you might require a person to come into the hospital or come into a clinic to get further care?
Yes, sir. Should any one of the veterans realize they have a skin issue or are wanting something addressed, it's really as easy as contacting their primary care physicians and letting them know they want a teledermatology appointment. From there, they'll either come in for physical photographing or they can even actually send pictures from home now, which has been really nice during quarantine, so that people can stay safe at home. When they're coming in for their teledermatology appointment, they'll not only have really high resolution and real good quality photos taken, we use a special, it's almost like a microscope. It's called a dermatoscope. And these photos are taken where the lesions are really magnified so that I'm able to see lesions clearer in these pictures than I could even see if the person was standing right in front of me. If I can't treat their problem with a simple cream, if something needs to be removed or biopsied, we have a really nice system in place. Michael and I work together with the primary care physicians and the community to get the veterans into an appointment as soon as possible. The process is very streamlined, and the veterans don't have to do anything more than, you know, call up and schedule their appointment thereafter.
So, Doctor, this sounds like if it's a simple issue, you can use teledermatology to get them out some ointment or some cream or something and follow up with them. But if it's something more important, you can do all of the legwork up front using teledermatology, and you know what to expect when they get there for an appointment.
Absolutely, which is really helpful. So if I think that somebody has a skin cancer, I can communicate to my team in the clinic, and they're ready and able to perform a biopsy or an excision, and it really streamlines the process and helps veterans get taken care of in a really efficient manner.
Thank you, Doctor. And Michael, if one of our listeners wants to get telederm services, where do they start?
They can start by asking your primary care doctor. It's as simple as that, asking your doctor for a referral, and that physician does their part in entering that referral into the record system through the VA, and we're notified. The technician that's local to you, if you go to the doctor in, let's say, Rice Lake, Wisconsin, we have a CBOC there. We have one in Chippewa Falls. Any of the CBOCs, any of the rural communities, I think, can really benefit from this because they don't have to drive all the way to Minneapolis to be seen by dermatology. They can be seen close to home. So they just have to let their primary care doctor know. They put in a referral, and we reach out to the patient to schedule at their convenience.
And Michael, is there any cost or copays attached to telederm?
No, there are not, Tom. Actually, starting in last October, they got rid of copays for teledermatology. So that's actually a really nice benefit as well. And then another thing that's really great is that the photos are resulted usually within 3 days from when they're submitted to the doctor. They're getting their results back very quickly.
Thank you, Michael. We're talking to Michael Ruland, an RN, and Rebecca Chusad, a doctor at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, about teledermatology on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, I've been out to the dermatology clinic at the Minneapolis VA Hospital. I had an issue, a little spot in my arm, and they froze that thing off. And that's a really busy part of your clinic and a lot of people in there. I'm thinking this teledermatology might be a great way to speed up visits for everyone.
The wait times you're looking at to get into the dermatology clinic, weeks, if not months, for routine care. And as Michael said, with teledermatology, if you realize you have a problem, you're able to get that referral and schedule your photograph within days. And I'm reading that within hours of the photographs coming through. So for people looking for quick care and to become more comfortable if they're itchy and they need a rash, cream or something like that, it's just really such an efficient method, especially for people now, again, who are stuck in their homes or who have difficulty driving or getting a ride to the VA. It really just enhances our ability to reach so many more people and help them with their skin conditions.
Well, Michael, I want to come back to you for a minute. Everybody knows that for the last year we've had to deal with the pandemic, and there's been some restrictions on who can go to the VA or the C-boxes to have to make appointments to get there. Seems to me that this is just one of the ways, like Team or Zoom and now teledermatology. It's one of the things that we've had to use to get through the pandemic, but it's probably going to stick around long after.
I think you're right, Tom. The VA has been an innovator with all of the telehealth services. There's many service lines. We're looking at expanding dermatology through teledermatology. We're looking at, we just picked up Black Hills. We're reading for them now. We're reading for St. Cloud and parts of Nebraska and Iowa as well. So it's really expanding, and I really don't see telemedicine and teledermatology specifically going anywhere in the near future. It's very convenient, very safe and user-friendly for the patients, and really provides excellent outcomes in their dermatological health care.
Just to add on to what Michael was saying, the VA has been using teledermatology way before the pandemic and way before anyone was using teledermatology in their offices. I was trained on teledermatology as a VA resident. And so we've been doing this far before most people. And so our technology now has been refined and really honed, and it's a great system for all the veterans to be able to use.
Michael, I'm glad you're back at the VA. Thank you for taking care of our veterans, and thanks for joining us today. And, Doctor, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just would urge anyone with a skin issue who's unsure if they have access, try teledermatology. It's a really safe, effective, and efficient way to get their skin problems taken care of, and it could save a life. Send in your pictures.
Doctor, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today, and thank you for taking care of our veterans here in Minnesota.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Michael Ruland and Rebecca Trusett from the Minneapolis VA Hospital on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the team behind our state's newest Yellow Ribbon Network. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to meet the team behind one of the state's newest Yellow Ribbon Networks. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Duty, honor, and pride. These words reflect the spirit of generations of American women who have sought to defend the rights of freedom of others, said Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki. March is Women's History Month. We take time to observe, celebrate, to pay tribute to the accomplishments women have made throughout history. Women in the military have made huge strides in the past years, as they are now allowed to serve as equals with their male comrades in combat roles and have proven themselves by completing the grueling Ranger course. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As we observe Women's History Month, it's important that we also take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans in Minnesota. This month, make it your mission to thank a woman veteran for her service.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Annette, every time you join us, you've got a new group or some new people to introduce us to. You've been busy talking to cities and companies and creating new Yellow Ribbon networks. And it's been a little tough over the last year because we've been in the middle of this pandemic. So my guess is you've created some new Yellow Ribbon networks that maybe haven't had time to officially proclaim.
Yes, we've been working really hard with many of our companies, and today I brought along one of a wonderful company in Minnesota, such a great partner, Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs, joined our efforts, and even during the pandemic has been able to complete their action plan, and we hope to proclaim them later this year.
So, Annette, you had to spend some time up at the casino at Hinckley and Mille Lacs?
Even before COVID, I got to go up there and spend time with that wonderful team and get behind the scenes of how their whole casino works and just a wonderful team of people up there.
Very good. Would you like to introduce our two guests, Annette?
Yes, today I have two representatives from the talent sourcing team that have been working hard on their action plan, Andrea Ali and Sharon Howwiller, and both of them today are really going to talk to us about some of the great commitments that Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs have been able to do.
Thank you, Annette. And Andrea, I want to start with you. Were you on the team that had to jump through all the hoops to become a Yellow Ribbon Network?
We did. We've been working strategically with Annette and working through our action plan, and we just got that approved, and we're looking forward to planning our proclamation ceremony, hopefully this year.
And Sharon, I understand both of you work in kind of an HR or human resources capacity. Does Grand Casino, both at Hinckley and Mille Lacs, imagine you employ some veterans already?
We do. We do have about 50-some employees that are veterans, and we're looking for some more.
Mm-hmm. And the pandemic has hurt everybody, and I know it's hurt the casinos, but things seem to be opening up a little bit. Are you recovering? Is it getting busier?
It is getting a little busier.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because a lot of folks in Minnesota want to get out of the house and get out of town. They're tired of being locked up and quarantined, and they're going to head north, and I imagine they'll stop at those two locations on the way up. Andrea, I want to come back to you. Can you tell us why was it important for Grand Casino to become Yellow Ribbon?
For us, again, the Yellow Ribbon program really helps us recruit, you know, qualified employees, you know, who fit well in our company culture, and our organization prides itself on using servant leadership and values such as respect, bravery, wisdom, and humility in our workplace. And so we really look at tying those together for our values and striving to look for other military and veterans that are out there that could join our team and our organization.
Thank you. We're speaking with members of Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs, the newest Yellow Ribbon network in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. And Sharon, I want to come to you. In the process of going through this to become Yellow Ribbon, you've been under the influence of Annette, but a lot of people in Minnesota have. Has she shared with you some of the best practices and some of the ways that can help you connect to the communities?
Oh, yeah, she gives us lots of ideas and what we can do and helps us come up with new ideas, and it's very helpful.
And Annette, I imagine you spent some good quality time with these ladies to show them how they can connect with other Yellow Ribbon companies, other Yellow Ribbon networks, communities. I don't know what the numbers, what are we up to now on communities and companies in Minnesota?
Well, so we have 94 Yellow Ribbon community networks in over 260 communities and in over about 27 counties. And Grand Casino is our 76th Yellow Ribbon company. And again, they've just been wonderful to work with. And they're even going to, hopefully in the future, host one of our Yellow Ribbon Company seminars so they can share their best practices with all the other Yellow Ribbon companies. So we'll be happy to go up there and showcase all the great things that they're doing up there.
Well, they do have some great facilities, and I imagine they've got a room that could hold all of your Yellow Ribbon networks and feed them some good chow.
Beautiful.
And have a good time. Andrea, during the pandemic, we've heard that there are a lot of people have been unemployed. Unfortunately, a lot of people in hospitality and restaurants and those things haven't been able to work. And among them, there's a pretty large number of veterans that are looking for work. Has Annette been able to show you how to connect with some of those folks to get new employees with the for Grand Casino when it gets hot again and people start coming back like they used to?
Yes, definitely she has. She's been partnering with us and helping us, definitely teaming up with career force centers to bringing, employment opportunities forward, also looking at local chambers, different things, anything that we can do to build those partnerships and expand how we're going to be hopefully finding and helping some of those veterans come and join our organization and give them a wonderful career opportunity with Grand Casino.
Well, Sharon, I want to come back to you. I understand that over Thanksgiving and Christmas, you were reaching out to some veterans with some goodies and trying to help your community.
I was. We did provide our associates with some coupons that helped them get through the holidays. And it was either a turkey or a ham they were able to go get. So very nice.
Very nice
to honor them.
Some discounts at local grocery stores, and I understand you decorated a Christmas tree with some photos of veterans.
Yes, I did. I got our local scheduler from security gave me some photos of all the veterans' pictures, and I kind of copied them onto some Christmas bulbs and decorated a tree for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope there's a picture of that up there so that we can all see what you did. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It was fun. Annette and Andrea and Sharon, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Minnesota's 76th Yellow Ribbon Network, Grand Casino, Hinckley, and Mille Lacs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Annette Kuiper, our Yellow Ribbon lady. She's actually the Director of Military Outreach for the Department of Military Affairs here in Minnesota, and Andrea Alley and Sharon Hawiller from Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs, which is the 76th Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota. And Andrea, I want to come to you. I know that you've got a story for us about a tribute wall. Can you share that with us?
I do. We actually are planning to create a tribute wall hopefully this year to honor our current associates with a picture of them, hopefully when they're in their service time, and a current associate picture and maybe like a description of them. Plus, we also did a Yellow Ribbon Honor Wall for Veterans Day this past year, where we had created the ribbons. And we did a fundraiser where associates could donate a dollar and they could honor any military veteran or someone that was in the military. And we lined the walls of both associate entrances at our Hinckley and Mille Lacs properties. And the company matched us dollar for dollar for everyone that we did. And then at the end, to make it even a little bit better, the company stepped up, Mille Lacs Corporate Ventures did, and they provided us with three $500 checks to some of our selected military associates with Grand Casino Hinckley, and that was awarded to them. We had pictures and cake, and it was just a wonderful presentation to our associates to give back to them for what they've done for us, and they could use that money for anything that would help them with bills, anything, as food. So it was wonderful to be a part of.
Andrea, it sounds like you've got great support of the Yellow Ribbon program from leadership there at Grand Casino.
We do. Our leaders step up in a big way and are helping us to power through to hopefully get us to the finish line and become an official Yellow Ribbon employer. We're definitely looking forward to making sure that we make that happen and that we welcome any veteran or military individuals to come and join our amazing team and our amazing organization.
Well, we want to remind everybody that's listening all over Minnesota that Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs is now a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. So when you're driving up north this summer, make sure you stop by and thank them for doing that and have a meal and whatever else goes on in those casinos. Sharon, I want to come to you. Now that you've gone through the process with the net and become Yellow Ribbon, what advice will you have for other companies that might be considering becoming a Yellow Ribbon company?
I would say just do it. Being part of the Yellow Ribbon program is a wonderful way to honor our associates and those who have served in the country. Yellow Ribbon program team will make the transition easy by answering any questions that you may have.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. We're thrilled to have Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs as our 76th Yellow Ribbon Network, and thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, thank you.
Annette, another great organization joining your Yellow Ribbon Network. You've done some great work. Do you think maybe by this summer you can actually have some of the official proclamation ceremonies and get a little bit caught up?
Yes, we're certainly hoping to have all the proclamation ceremonies for several of our companies, and we're really excited. And Grand Casino Hinckley and Mille Lacs is a great example of a company outside the metro that's really doing some great things, connecting in with what we're doing in the communities around that area where they serve. And so they've been great partners in Greater Minnesota for us.
Annette, I think you probably had a good time with Andrea and Sharon from Grand Casino. Those ladies sound like they liked you and liked the process.
Loved working with that whole team at Grand Casino. From the very first start, they were dedicated and really committed to making Grand Casino one of our best Yellow Ribbon companies, so we're happy to have them in the club.
Great work, Annette. Thanks for joining us today, and I can't wait to see who you're going to bring us next time right here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. That was Annette Kuiper.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Annette.
Yeah. Andrea Ali and Sharon Hawiller on Minnesota Military Radio talking about becoming a Yellow Ribbon Network. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader from the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
Sergeant Major, it's been quite a year. We've had the pandemic around for about a year, and a lot of things have changed. We're communicating today, you and I, by team. Ben and I are in my office, and Zach's back at the studio, but we find ways to get things done. And I noticed I've seen some things on Facebook and so forth. The senior leaders of the Minnesota National Guard, have you gotten your second shot, Sergeant Major?
You know, we did. A number of us went to the 133rd Air Wing on Monday and received our second shot. And I'm happy to report no ill effects on my or any of the leaders' behalf. So we're good to go. And the canary in the coal mine did not die.
Very good, Sergeant Major. Now, is the COVID vaccine optional for our troops, or is it required?
No, it is optional. As it stands right now, it's unlike the flu shot that we are required to get every year. With the COVID shot, it's actually still in its emergency use authorization phase. So it is just recommended, but it is not required.
Well, Sergeant Major, last year when we sent some troops out to the National Training Center, we had to deal with the COVID and isolate up at Camp Ripley, and it was just another thing they had to deal with to go out there and do their mission, which they did well. But now we're getting ready to send some more people overseas, and is it going to be a little simpler if they have the option to get the vaccine and they'll be a little bit safer?
We still have some different mandates that we have to follow, but yes, getting the vaccine does make it better. Makes it better for themselves, makes it reduces the rate of transmission amongst the group, because, you know, as good as we are with our mitigation strategies, you still do train in tight quarters. So it is just better overall for the health of the force that they, you know, receive the vaccination. But yes, we do have another unit or units going out the door, and the next one coming up is the Brigade Minus. So the ABCT is sending essentially a task force to Operation Spartan Shield in Kuwait upcoming, and they'll be departing here in a few weeks.
Now, Sergeant Major, I understand that's down from what you anticipated, say, this time last year when they came back from NTC, but still a lot of soldiers going over there, and I would think that it makes the mission a little simpler if they have the option to get that vaccine before they leave.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it just makes it easier for when they get over there as well. You know, it did go from essentially they were looking at majority of the brigade at one point, you know, three plus thousand soldiers down to, you know, 1,000 plus soldiers. So, yeah, it has changed, and, you know, that always causes some conflict with employers and families, but I think they did a great job working through those issues with the soldiers and families.
Very good, sir. Sergeant Major, I understand the 34th Infantry Division's Senior Non-Commissioned Officer Leader Development Breakout was up at Camp Ripley. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Command Sergeant Major Whitehead took it upon himself to kind of identify some areas that he wanted to discuss with his senior enlisted leaders. And so this last weekend up at Camp Ripley on Saturday, we had a pretty good crowd. I think it was about 90 senior leaders from First Sergeant, Sergeant Major, Command Sergeant Major, and sat there and spoke about a number of topics to include SHARP. And one of our experts in the organization, Mr. Thompson, came up and addressed the audience. And then we also delved into a little bit regarding the recruit sustainment program with Command Sergeant Major Core from the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And then finally, I also spoke regarding an initiative that was started by the Sergeant Major of the Army, This Is My Squad, which essentially is the intent behind it is that we push ownership down to our junior leaders, and that way we can resolve a lot of these issues that are kind of occurring within our formation. They like to call them the three corrosives, so sexual assault, suicide, and extremism and racism. And, you know, the whole intent is that, 60% of our force in the Minnesota National Guard, which is kind of representative of all forces across the United States, reside in junior ranks. And in order to make a difference, we need to ensure that those junior ranks are, know that they're empowered and that they're the ones that are going to make the difference in the organization.
Sounds like a good weekend up there for those folks. And I think I saw some photos. Was there a biathlon up that way?
You know, as you mentioned it, yes, there was. We actually had the privilege of hosting at Camp Ripley the Chief's National Guard Bureau Biathlon, which is typically a pretty robust competition. This year, unfortunately, with COVID and the number of different state active duty missions that are being carried out across the 54 states, territories, and District of Columbia, it went from about 150 participants down to about 40. So unfortunately, it was a little bit smaller. The good news is we're going to be able to execute it again next year, so we will be hosting it again. And I guess even maybe for Minnesota, the better news is I would say we pretty much dominated the entire competition. And particularly, a name that you might be familiar with, we had a brother-sister team of Sienna and Jacob Ellingson, two specialists with one of our truck companies, were won both of the events, the sprint and pursuit events, and were on the teams that won the relay and patrol events. So, just incredible effort by them all.
Sergeant Major, that sounds terrific. Brother-sister team won the event. That would be exciting for them. Sergeant Major, I understand that there is a company commander, first sergeant, pre-command course. Now, is that the type of course that, as you go up in rank, one of the things that you have on the checklist you have to get through?
Well, yeah, that's the intent, and it's one of those things after I get through. Well, hopefully we put out some good information and actually help round out our first sergeants and company commanders. But it's a great course, and, it's one of those mandated things that we have to do, but I think it's one of those things that we would do regardless. And it touches on a lot of the subjects I kind of already mentioned, but it's kind of one of those indicators to those individuals that they're moving into a different realm of responsibility and authority. So it's a great course.
So it gives them an idea of what to expect as they move up and take greater and greater positions, higher and higher positions.
Absolutely. It gives them that Rolodex of resources that are available to them as well. And then, another part of it that's great is they get to network and meet their peer groups so that they can problem solve amongst themselves.
And Sergeant Major, we're having Black History Month, and I understand there was a panel event at the 34th Infantry Division new headquarters.
Absolutely, a fantastic facility, and I couldn't think of a better event to be held at it. We had within the state of Minnesota, we have 8 special emphasis councils, and Black Heritage is one of those councils. And this past month, they held a great event up there to include breakfast, and then we had a panel after that I think was very well attended and appreciated by our service members.
Did you get retired Brevet Major General Hamler out and get him to the event, sir?
Absolutely. He was on the panel. He, a friend of yours, friend of the show, he was on the panel and did a fantastic job.
I would expect that he probably was the star of the show, because that's a very intelligent guy. And last I saw him, he was at the VA Medical Center in his scrubs taking care of our veterans, doing that too, sir.
Which is another, just an honorable way of making a living.
Very good. Now, Sergeant Major, we got just a little over a minute left. We've been fighting this pandemic for about a year. The Minnesota National Guard's been involved in it in all kinds of ways, delivering goods and giving shots and helping with the senior homes. But throughout the pandemic, you've been forced to use some communication equipment, just like all businesses have. I think some things are going to change going forward. We might have more of these virtual meetings in the future than we ever expected.
Absolutely. And I think it's just shown how flexible we can be if we actually look at the problem and just kind of come up with the various solutions. Not to pound on the chest, but Minnesota was the first state to really embrace doing virtual drills when the pandemic first came upon us. And, that was then embraced by, the other 50 states, territories, and District of Columbia. So it's great to be in an innovative organization that actually doesn't just allow a problem to stop it in its tracks, but we find solutions that enable us to, kind of move forward. And that's one of the things that just is very heartening, knowing that we were able to do that this past year.
Sergeant Major, I guess we learned from everything. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, Tom, and thank you to all your listeners.
As Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Michael Ruland and Rebecca Chaucett from the Minneapolis VA, Andrea Alley and Sharon Howler from Grand Casino, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we check in with our Minnesota Red Bulls and hear about help available for Minnesota's homeless or at-risk veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.